welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Amen. Amen. I greet you with grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. One more time. Let us pray. Father, we once again thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for the privilege, God, just to stand behind this sacred desk to declare the truth of who you are. Thank you, God, for the ability to just be able to know that had it not been for you on our side, where would we be, God? We love you, and right now we know it's the preached word of Christ. I pray right now, God, that you would just give me the words to share. Touch these lips of clay that I may proclaim your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from Genesis, the 18th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 down through 5, and then I'm going to skip to verse 9 through 12. If you have it, rest on your feet, if you're able. This is Genesis, the 18th chapter, beginning at verse 1. It says, "The Lord appeared to Abram near the great tree of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. And Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, 'If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant.' 'Very well,' they answered. 'Do as you say.'" Verse 9, it says, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. Verse 12, "So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, 'And after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?'" The word of the Lord. You may be seated. I know this is Youth Sunday. We want to also recognize our graduates, those that are graduating from colleges, those that are transitioning to the next level. And I thought that this message would be fitting for you only. Despite of what happened last night, the focus is burning on you. So if I had to assign a theme this morning, this is what I would use. This is no laughing matter. This is no laughing matter. There are some things that are funny and there are some things that are not. I'm reminded of my own personal story. The young Craig back in the early 80s. I was working for, as you know, a conservative company for 35 years. The young Craig had to look a certain way. Clean shave, no hair in your face. I think that was when the afro was out. But there was one hairstyle that I really wanted. That was the Jerry Curl look. It had moved from the West Coast to the East Coast. My brother had one, and he looked good. I said to my wife, I said, honey, I'd like to try that, but on a conservative level. She said, honey, you know I'll hook you up. I got you covered. I said, but honey, are you sure you know what to do? She said, honey, I see him do it in the beauty salon all the time. All you got to do is just get you some dark and lovely, bring it home, and I'll tighten you up. I said, okay, honey, I'm going to trust you. I went to the store, Deke, got the dark and lovely. My wife read the instructions. She put it on. I said, honey, how long should I leave it on? She said, I'll let you know. She went on to reading her Essence magazine, reading Jet. I said, honey, it's getting warm. She said, don't worry about it, honey. It's all right. Later on, she said, now it's time. I'll wash it out. She washed my hair out. I ran to the mirror. I'm looking for the curls. Church, there was no curls. I said, honey, where are the curls at? She said, honey, I don't know. I think what we got to do, you got to wait until you go to sleep. And when you wake up the next day, your hair be curled. I woke up the next day. I couldn't wait. I got up early. I woke her up because I didn't see no curls. My hair was as straight as a peacock. It was funny to her, but it was no laughing matter to me. I had to work with my boss, a conservative white man. When he saw me get in the car, he couldn't take his eyes off me. I said, good morning. He said, what the heck did you do to your hair? I said, it's all right. He said, it ain't all right. Everywhere I went, people made fun of me all day long. I couldn't wait to get back home. I was so angry at my wife. She said, honey, I don't know what to tell you to do. I had to go to the barbershop again. And I had just left there 2 days before. He saw me. He said, man, what did you do to your hair? I said, man, just what can you do? He said, only thing I can do is just cut it down as close as I can get it. I said, then do what you got to do. That situation for me was an embarrassing moment. There were people that laughed and thought it was funny, but it wasn't funny to me. And then I thought about this story. In our story, Sarah overhears a conversation which causes her to laugh. Sarah's laughter was one out of, it's just too good to be true. She concluded that God must not know much about biology, or maybe he has forgotten how things work down here on earth. Sarah set her own age, that of her husband, in opposition to the word of the Lord. In other words, she only considers what might be accomplished by the natural means, not by God's power. She realized that if a woman had been barren, if a woman had been unproductive, if a woman had been unfruitful all her life, she was not going to have nobody's baby. Oftentimes in our humanness, we measure the promises and the work of God by our own reason and by the laws of nature. It may not be our intent, but it does cause us to put limits on what God can really do. See, we lose hope when things don't go our way, when tragedy strikes, or when there are obstacles in our lives that overwhelm us. God wants us to have faith. God wants us to believe that God can do the impossible. How many know that we have to believe that God can do the impossible? We don't have to look for great miracles. Just look at yourself. That was an impossible task. Mama never thought that you were going to mount up to be what you are today, Deke. But look at you right now. That's an impossible task. See, sometimes we're so focused on trying to do great things, but just look at the simple things of life that God has brought us all a long way. Here are my points today that I want to just share with those of you that are graduating, those of you that are moving on into another area of life. The first one is that we must know thyself. We must know thyself. See, your passion will determine where you go. Your passion will determine what you do, how much devotion you have to it, and how much you're willing to put into it to be successful. We have to be open to everything. Have a beginner's mindset. Never assume that you know everything. Accept challenges and new opportunities. We have to welcome feedback. We have to push past our comfort zone. These are areas of predictability, areas of the status quo, areas of business as usual. And some of us have our own routine every day. We tend to go through life doing what is most comfortable for us and what feels safe. See, sometimes God has to take us out of that space and put us in the space that he has designed for us. I want you to do something unusual today, church. I want you to do what is not normal. I want you to defy the odds. I want you to step outside of yourself and step into the self that God has called you into. There will be people who will ask you the question, what do you aspire to be? And when you tell them, they will just do what Sarah did. They would just laugh. A lot of our young people want to be politicians. They want to be physicians. They want to go on and do something with their life. But because we put limits on what they can do based on our financial resources or the lack thereof. And sometimes when we laugh, it's not because we're not happy or because we have seen something really funny, but it's because we are feeling skeptical or bitter about life. You know the expression, if you didn't laugh, you'll cry. That seems to be the sort of laugh that Sarah had in our text. This is really no laughing matter. I believe you can be whatever you want to be as long as you are willing to make the sacrifice. To know thyself means to know you are human. It is during the time I am far outside of my element that I experience myself the most. See, when you're outside of yourself, that's when you experience yourself the most. That I see and I feel who I really am. Not who you want me to be, but who I really am. And until you make peace with who you are, you will never contend, or you will never contend with what you have. Make peace with yourself. God says he's going to do some great things in your life. He's not going to match you with somebody else because he already knows what he has for you. It's because we can't see ourselves in another venue, we put limits on what God can do. Know yourself, graduates. The next point is, be the best you can be. Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. Mommy and daddy are already taken. Your sisters and your brothers, they're already taken. Whoever you admire the most is already taken. Each of us have been given a measure of faith, a faith to believe, a faith to live by daily, a faith to speak to those things that be not as though they were. Therefore, take advantage of your difference and use it to create value. See, we have all heard the saying, beauty is on the skin deep. The true beauty of a person radiates as their relationship with Christ grows. When your light so shines that others see Christ in you is when your beauty is revealed. See, no matter how you see yourself today, if you open your heart to Christ, you will see yourself in a whole new light. And so will others. We all need a relationship with people who can remind us of the truth and dispel the falsehood, who can show us some of the love our hearts need, who can help us along our way. God knows this, and that's why God wants us to have a relationship. See, it's hard for you to believe that a major part of God's plan for your life involves relationships. That's why in the cool of the day when Adam was walking in the garden, Adam had a relationship with God. God knew his every step. That's why he asked him. Not that he didn't know. He said, where are you, Adam? God already knows where you are. He wants you to have a best friend, even though the last one stabbed you in the back. He wants you to have pastors and mentors who create a safe place for you to grow and become. He wants you to be in a relationship that works and is marked by love, marked by honor, marked by respect, and also marked by fun. So what was Sarah's issue? She thought her old age would prevent her from having children. Sometimes the world around us laugh, and no wonder as they look at the means by which God proclaims the good news to the world. See, God chose Abraham and Sarah, who laughed because they could not understand God's power. He chose King Saul, an unstable madman. He chose David, an adulterer and murderer. He chose King Solomon, a man who was more fond of the high life than looking at his own people. See, God does not choose us because of our great skill or talent, but because of his great love towards us. He does this to demonstrate his power, to take the broken pieces of our lives, the broken dreams of our life, and to recreate them, to make something out of us. That's why he does it. So people would know that it was God that was working in your life, not you pulling yourself up. You're still trying to pull yourself up. That's why the straps are no longer there. See, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Just like we are never too old to be used by God, you are never too young to be used by God either. That's why, young people, I want you to understand that Joaz was 7 years old when he became king of Jerusalem, and he reigned for 40 years. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king of Judah. He reigned for 31 years. David was known after God's own heart. He was anointed king at 30 years old. He ruled for 40 years. Dr. Martin Luther King was a young man at 26 when he got called to Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Alabama. Tiger Woods was a young man at 20 when he was winning golf tournaments and later became the youngest golfer to ever win the Masters. Venus and Serena were young women with beads in their hair when they started competing at 14 years old, and now they're the most dominating force in women tennis. Even locally where I live, I was amazed to find that the mayor in Lansdale is a 34-year-old young man, and the Amla mayor is a young female in her 30s. See, you're never too young to be used by God. So what is the point? Just graduating is not enough, but it is a start. And all too often, we allow people to dissuade us from our dream. Don't let nobody talk you out of way from your dream. None of us know what God has in store for you. But if you continue to persevere, if you continue to have faith, if you continue to believe, God will make that reality possible. Be the best you can be. And here is my final point. Never stop believing. Abraham waited years for this promise to be fulfilled. He even tried to fulfill the promise himself by laying with his wife's maidservant, Hagar. But he never stopped believing in the promise of God or in God, even though it appeared to be impossible. See, believing in the impossible promises of God is what we do as Christians, and it is what will help us to overcome our struggles, overcome our obsessions, to overcome our thoughts and actions that are harming ourselves and others. See, God is never limited by the difficulty of his promises. As humans, we always have a way out. I couldn't help it, or it was beyond my control. We reach the edge of our capability. God, however, has no end to his capability. As we face the challenges of life, we can sometimes think that we're in it alone. But God is always there. See, when life becomes unmanageable, we must believe that there is a God who is able to do what he said exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. You all are the future leaders, and I hope for a better society. Some of you will be successful doctors. Some of you will be successful lawyers. Some of you will be successful teachers and politicians, and the list will continue to go on and on. We know college is not for everyone. That's okay. But there are opportunities. There are trades and skills available if we are willing to apply ourselves. Snapchatting is not a skill. Having a million likes on Instagram does not turn into a professional career. Therefore, we must stay the course. We must make sure that we understand what God has already said to us. Don't stop believing. Don't give up on your faith. No matter how sometime it might look, we still have to press forward. I'm almost done, but I got to tell you this story. There's a story of a young man named Danny Simpson. At the age of 24 years old, he robbed a bank in Ottawa, Canada, at gunpoint. He robbed the bank of $6,000. And shortly after it, he was captured. The real tragedy of this story is that the weapon he used to rob the bank with was a 1918 45 caliber semi-automatic Colt. It was valued at $100,000. Danny robbed the bank of $6,000 with a weapon worth $100,000. See, Danny's problem was he didn't know what he had in his hand. So I say to you today, sometime we too are just like Danny, unsure of what we have in our hands, unsure of whose hands we are in. Remember, Moses led the people out of Egypt with only what? A staff in his hand. David slew the giant Goliath with only a slingshot and a few shiny stones in his hand. Samson slayed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass in his hand. Jesus fed 5,000 folk with a little boy's lunch in his hand. Don't be misled by God's anointing power on your life. He brought you through this, and I guarantee you, he will bring you through that. As we release what we have to God, God will release what he has for us in his hand. That's why the task ahead of us is never as great as the power that's behind us. See, God is worthy of our deepest trust. When you trust him, he fills you with so much joy and peace that you literally overcome with hope. So I say to this graduating class, don't give up. God is not Mark. God already knows where you're going to be and when you're going to be there. So be encouraged. What people think is a laughing matter, this is no laughing matter that we're in. This pandemic that we're experiencing, nothing to laugh about. What happened in Philly and across countries all over the world, the fire burnings, the looting, this is no laughing matter. God wants to stir up the gifts within us. God said the church has been called out. We are the ecclesia. We have to make a difference, not only in our walk, but in our conversation. God knows the pain that we're feeling. He knows the discouragement that we have. He knows that's the injustice that's surrounding us. But he said, yet though they slay me, yet will I trust him. Jesus Christ walked this earth in the same flesh that we have. He went through the same trials and the tribulations. So I want to encourage you today to love the Lord. Do what he called you to do. Be the best that you can. Know yourself and never stop believing that he can do it. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. For those of you that are listening online, those of you listening Facebook Live and even on the telephone, you may not know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin. This is your opportunity. Very simple. All you have to do is just to admit that you are a sinner. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. It says salvation is yours. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him, he said, whosoever will, let him come. So if you're on the phone line and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is your time. Even though you're not here with us physically, we still believe that God can reach you where you are. That's the type of presence and the power that he has. All you have to do is just admit that you're a sinner. We're praying for you wherever you are. And we're praying for our graduates, whether they're high school, even the ones at our own institute at Rice. We want you to be encouraged today. In Jesus' name, this is Pentecost Sunday. He said that where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, God, for the blessed word. Thank you, God, for your love that's shed abroad in our hearts. This is our service for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.